At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Today's topic was given to us by a listener, and we can't wait to dive in. Do you have an idea for our show? If so, we'd love to hear it and consider it. You can contact us through our Instagram at Steel Magnolias Podcast or through our website, steelmagnoliaspodcast.com. Okay, meet you at the table.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias,
the strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table.
So pull up a chair. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have some anniversary patrons to thank. These are people that have been supporting the show for a full year, and we are so, so grateful.
So grateful for these special magnolias.
Yes. So without further ado, thank you for the financial support that you have given us. Brittany from Dubois, Pennsylvania. Anita of Franklin, Tennessee. The Foms of Ashburn, Virginia. Jennifer of Southside, Alabama. And Tim and Carla of Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. And I have Michelle of Franklin, Tennessee. Paula of Ocala, Florida. Rebecca of Columbus, Georgia. Sarah of Marietta, Georgia. And Susan of Palmer Lake, Colorado.
Oh, I love hearing all the variety of states.
I do too.
There. Well, if you would like to learn more about how to support us and receive the perks as well, like the Peace Be With Y'all t-shirt.
So cute.
We do a Southern swag box of goodies for some of the VIPs in our Patreon community. And we
extra content.
Bonus episode of Lainey and I doing our monthly sister chat.
That's right.
So if that's of interest to you, you can check out patreon.com/steelmagnolias. Okay. Time to get into the show. So
we're going on a little road trip today.
We are. I love it. So most of the towns across the U.S. are named pretty straightforward. Named after founding fathers.
Yes, founder of the town, entrepreneur that's done a lot in the town or something.
Yeah, politicians, people that had a big name at the time the city was founded. So a lot of them are familiar, including Franklin, Tennessee, where we live, named after Benjamin Franklin. I'm sure there's Franklin's.
He's probably got lots of namesake towns.
Galore, yes. We were actually going to be called Marthasville, named for our town's founder's wife, Martha, but that was changed at the last minute. So okay.
Not Martha Whiteflower.
No.
Okay.
No. But gosh, as you'll hear in this episode, there are some weird names.
Crazy, funny.
Across the South. I felt like I put my maps app on my phone to the test when I was putting some of these in, because I was like, surely it is not going to get to tell me directions to
these little
Frogtown or where, you know,
unincorporated
whatever.
Small population towns.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Most of these towns, they are unincorporated, which is just meaning they're a region that does not have like a governing local government that's oversees them. So it's very likely that you have not heard of many of these unless you grew up in the town or
and
very
you probably
nearby.
You probably have a lot that we've not heard of. We did our best to dig around a little and find some funny ones.
You could do this each day of your life and probably come up with a different
right. How do you
city.
Even do a list?
Yeah. Well, we're going to give it our best shot.
We're going to give it a shot.
So I would like to kick off the list with Two Egg, Florida. Okay.
Okay.
So Two Egg is a little crossroads town way up in northwest Florida, which is also not far from the Alabama and Georgia state lines.
Okay.
Up there in the panhandle. So one story goes that during the Depression and the 1930s, of course, cash was very hard to come by, and locals began to trade products, you know, go to the grocery store, trade in what you've got, maybe for something on
situation.
The
situation.
Yeah, yeah. So one story has it that two boys used to come in with two eggs from their family farm to trade for sugar. And locals began to jokingly call the place the Two Egg Store, and the name stuck.
Okay.
So it actually has become an official name with the State of Florida highway sign that marks the place.
All right.
So you may have, if you've driven through there, actually seen where Two Egg Florida is. But
they better have a good breakfast joint, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You better have a good breakfast joint with a little Two Egg Special in Two Egg Florida.
I love it. I mean, surely there's a Two Egg pit stop, truck
grits
stop.
And
that's awesome.
Okay, well, I think it's adorable that there's a Christmas Florida.
Oh, who doesn't love Christmas?
So the story I found on this name was on December 25th, 1837, a force of 2,000 U.S. Army soldiers and Alabama volunteers arrived in the area to construct a fort, which they named Fort Christmas.
Oh, okay.
The fort was one of over 200 forts built during the Second Seminole War in 1892. There is now a post office opened at Christmas, which apparently a lot of people bring their Christmas cards.
Oh my gosh.
To then be going stamped. Out from Christmas, Florida. That's is that not so cute?
Really cute.
So I love Christmas.
Love that,
and that's like so precious.
I love that so much.
And then sticking with the theme, let's go north to Santa Claus, Georgia.
Oh, more Christmas. I love it.
In 2010, the population was 165 in Santa Claus, Georgia.
Okay.
It was incorporated in 1941.
Okay.
But apparently, so the story goes, there's a local entrepreneur there who wanted to attract tourists to his pecan business.
Hey.
And adjacent hotel. So
there
he
you
thought
go.
That could be a cute way to
yeah.
draw people in. And they have street names like Candy Cane Road, December Drive, Rudolph Way.
That's so
Dancer
fun.
And Prancer both have a street, and then Slay Street. So,
oh my gosh.
Again, that's pretty cute.
It's like a Hallmark setting,
totally.
Right?
Totally. Oh my gosh, right? They always have names like
oh,
that.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, there's a Santa Claus, Indiana as well,
yes,
which is home
I think
to
it's a bigger
theme park Holiday World.
That's
similar
right,
thing,
that's right?
Right? They wanted to camp out on how to get some tourism, and they've done it well with their
that is totally right.
theme park. That's so fun.
Well, I'm sure there's other cute names in those two states. I think there's a Frostproof Florida and
Frostproof. The whole state's frostproof, right?
Seriously. Anyway, people come up with all these funny things. There's Experiment Georgia. I didn't look into all of them, but
oh gosh.
Anyway,
we don't know. We don't want to know the history on that, right?
So where shall we go next?
Okay, how about we go over to right in the middle of the state of North Carolina? You
okay.
come across the unincorporated town of Lizard Lick.
Oh my gosh, stop.
So according to North Carolina historian William Powell, the town got its name from a passing observer who saw many lizards sunbathing and licking themselves on a rail fence. Regardless of the town name, though, the local community members who are native to the area, they're really proud, apparently, of their origins. And, I mean, I love that. If you're going to be Lizard Lick, just own it. But they got excited because in the late 90s, I think it was like 97, the state installed the first traffic light in Lizard Lick, which marked a new period of increasing property values,
oh my
as
gosh.
They said. So, shout out to Lizard Lick.
Whoop, whoop.
Wonder how many traffic lights they have now.
That is awesome.
Who knows?
Okay, if you have kids in the car, they're going to snicker. Are you ready for this? Also, North Carolina, Boogertown.
Stop.
I'm not kidding. There is a Boogertown. And the story goes that moonshiners who warned that the boogeyman lurked in the forest in order to deter visitors,
oh my gosh,
caused the name to become Boogertown. That's kind of brilliant, right? Who wants to go to a place called Boogertown?
Okay.
There's also a tick bite, North Carolina, another town I don't care to
go to. No, thank you. No, thank you. That's a lot of towns in the South.
That's
but
so true.
No, thank you if you've actually claimed it.
You know, another one I didn't look up, but I think this has got to have a story. Upper Pigpen and Lower Pigpen, North Carolina.
Okay. This is probably going to be my whole audio track on this podcast.
It's just laughter.
Just laughing. Yeah.
West Virginia has a woolly booger.
Staying on
booger thing.
A woolly booger. Gross.
And all the 8-year-old boys in the car.
They're like, what like, to do I'll their look. Next school project
exactly
on it. You heard exactly. It at the Steel Magnolias podcast. Okay, so that was North Carolina. You got anything for South Carolina?
I do. Hellhole Swamp.
Good Lord. Okay.
I'm not kidding. So one account says that the swamp got its name in the American Revolutionary War.
Okay.
From Colonel Tarleton, because the British had great difficulty finding the elusive General Marion. I'm probably butchering these names. And then another explanation is that it was named being a repository for bootleggers during the Prohibition. Both theories are proved false because they are predated by the 1773 James Cook map of South Carolina,
okay,
which locates the Hellhole Swamp. So those are the theories, but not true.
I would say any swamp in a war is a hellhole.
Seriously.
Swamp.
Good
Lord.
Good point.
Wow. So that was South Carolina.
Yeah, they also have a coward South Carolina, which I would not want to be from.
No.
I mean, who wants to be? That's no fun.
Some of these are just like, get your butt kicked on the at recess kind of.
Well,
you're,
I was
you're
thinking,
from where?
Did a female name that from a, you know, she got broken up with and, you know. He was from there, and so she's like, that is coward South Carolina.
So
I don't know.
Okay, well, I've got one in Alabama that, you know.
Oh,
you got another one?
I do have another South Carolina. This one cracked me up because I happened to be researching this one with Mom in the room.
Okay.
Sugar Tit, South Carolina.
I'm like dropping my notes in my drink every town name you mentioned.
And I said, Mom, have you ever heard of that town? And she said, no, but I guess you know what a sugar tit is. And I said, no, I don't know what that is. Of course she did.
Is it on an animal?
It is not.
Okay.
So it's like literal. If you literally think about, okay, so this was something that apparently people would take a clean piece of cloth,
okay,
and put sugar or honey,
okay,
in it and
okay,
tie it up. And give it to a baby as a pacifier.
Oh, wow.
Because it
there
would get
go
them quiet.
Okay.
Okay. So apparently it received its name when the men spent so long socializing at the local general store. Their wives complained they took to the store like a baby to a sugar tit.
Oh, my gosh. That is so Southern. That is
so that totally cracked me
Southern
up because I was like, what in the world does that even mean? And
yeah,
Mom's like, oh, I guess it came from that.
Thank you, Mom, for the historical references.
I also got tickled thinking about just nowadays how people would probably so not do that. Like,
no,
just give a baby straight up refined sugar through
that,
a cloth.
That sounds like something either that we would have mentioned on our Southern Remedies
yes
episode or from a Foxfire book.
Book, totally. Well,
that's
there
funny.
You go. Sugar Tit, South Carolina. Shout out.
That is crazy. Well, here's one that, you know, just sounds worse than it is because you don't know the backstory, right? So there's a Killin, Alabama.
Yes, I have
pronounced
actually
like
heard
Killin,
of that.
But spelled K-I-L-L-E-N. This is actually an incorporated town. So in 1895, James Killin built a general store and applied for a post office. He actually sent in 3 different possible names for the town, and Killin was chosen. So the post office opened on April 22nd, 1896. And the town of Killin was founded. Killin's actually like an Irish name.
Okay.
But when you hear that, it's just, again, you don't know the backstory. So our minds go wandering into the worst of scenarios.
So true. All right. This could probably be in any state of the South,
okay,
too. But we have Scratch Ankle, Alabama.
That is, I've, clearly, I'm Have
you been there recently?
Well, I've been scratching my ankle as we've been talking because all the bug bites.
That's what it came from. It got its name from the fact that locals who were often seen by railroad workers scratching their ankles due to excessive mosquito bites.
And this is Alabama.
Yes.
Do you remember Alabama? And Gulf Shores was the place that we first encountered no-see-ums.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
And we got eaten alive by no-see-ums. Yes. That is an actual bug name. So I believe it. I bet scratch ankles close to where we were camping that time. That's funny.
Okay, another town in Alabama. You've mentioned a lizard town, but there's a slick lizard, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
So according to tradition, slick lizard was so named because local miners had to crawl through muddy passages and in the process became slick as a lizard.
Okay, there you go.
Pretty straightforward,
actually.
For some
reason, I thought that was going to be, like, slimy in the sense of, like, bad behavior, like gambling or, like, slimy men that were, like, mishandling business
affairs.
No,
they're just hard workers in the mine. And
see, my mind went to the worst.
I know.
And it was really just hardworking guys. Wow.
Okay, is that it for Alabama? I mean, there's so many that... Again, I know we're just probably scratching the surface, but...
Well, moving into our home sweet home state of Tennessee.
We got plenty, too.
I was cracking up when I saw Nameless Tennessee. So one version of this town's history says that the name came from the time the residents applied for a post office, which you've heard, you're hearing this post office connect, because
right?
That's a big deal to have a post office. That was kind of like the first thing you did when you had a town. They forgot to fill in the blank.
Oh, so it literally was.
So the form was returned back to them, stamped nameless, all caps, and they did indeed get that post office.
Okay.
So Nameless Post Office was established in 1866, and it only operated until 1909. So they're back to unincorporated.
Okay.
They've been demoted and nameless. Anyway.
Okay. I think this is pretty cute. How about Sweet Lips, Tennessee?
Ooh. That's like, yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, the first settlers arrived in the 1820s. Residents have claimed that the name comes from settlers or wandering hobos or thirsty Civil War soldiers, depending on who you ask, who declared water from the creek to be sweet to the lips.
Oh. So. There you go. If it's... sweeter than what you've tasted, then it gets the name Sweet Lips. That's
so
funny.
So that's the story with that one. And then not far from us, there is an adorable town called Bellbuckle, Tennessee. And so
visited there a few
yes,
times.
Yes, it's really cute. I don't remember where I was reading about Bellbuckle, but the origin of the town's unusual name is not known. According to the local chamber of commerce, one story says that one of the first white men to travel through the area found a tree with carvings of a cowbell and a buckle.
Okay.
Possibly carved by Indians to warn white settlers away, or possibly carved by surveyors to mark the area as good pasture. And then another form of the legend holds that a bell and buckle were tied around a tree in any case, the nearby creek was named Bellbuckle Creek.
Okay.
And so the town later took the name from the creek.
Okay.
So it was the creek that was named first.
I actually did come across that in some of my research, that like a creek or a body of water
will then dictate kind of the basis
like maybe this is the largest sort of town on that body of water.
Yeah,
so we'll
that
just
makes
take
sense.
On that name.
That makes sense.
Have you ever heard of Only Tennessee?
Never.
Okay, well, it's just west of Nashville, close to Centerville. That was so southern the way I just said that. Centerville. Okay, so the name comes from a store owner who was always heard to say his prices were only 5 cents.
Oh, okay.
So he just said the word only so much, they named the whole town after him.
That's funny.
I'll put these other two together real quick. So Difficult,
yes.
Tennessee.
Okay.
They're just a little northeast of Nashville. They're in Smith County. It's just east of Pleasant Shade. Anyway, one story goes that when residents applied for a post office, the application was returned because the preferred name was too difficult. So I don't know what the preferred name was. Maybe if y'all are out there and you know the preferred name of difficult. So they went with difficult. Yeah. Also, just down the road is Defeated. Defeated, Tennessee is named for the events that took place in the late 18th century along the banks of Defeated Creek. John Payton, one of the earliest settlers and explorers of Smith County, and his surveying party were camped along the creek when they were attacked by a band of Cherokees led by Hanging Maw, M-A-W, and driven out of the area.
Wow.
So that doesn't sound like a very fun area to live in, Defeated and difficult. You'd kind of have to, I don't know, just have a real optimistic view of life, I guess, to really thrive there. But they're there.
Well, in the early days before streamlined highways, there was a lot of camping in nearby woods to a town called Lickskillet, Tennessee.
Ooh!
The story goes that a group of campers cooked a big meal. One camper was late arriving, and when he began to search for some food, all he found was the empty skillet. Being very hungry, he licked the skillet, and from that day, the community has been known as Lick Skillet.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds like a total made-up story.
It does.
But
a lot of these do.
It's cute.
But it makes for fun stories, and we like good storytelling here in the South.
There again, there needs to be a good restaurant
yes.
in a town called Lick Skillet,
so I
where
say,
they serve everything to the table in the cast iron skillet. Would that not be so cute?
Yes. There's been one incident where I really did want to lick a skillet, and it was one where a chocolate chip cookie was served in a cast iron skillet. It was still warm with a scoop of ice cream on top. They do this at Young Life Camp. They bring it out at at the end of our, I think it's the spaghetti meal, put it down the middle of the table, and you just get your spoon, just eat right out the skillet, and it's so good. I wanted to lick the skillet.
Well, when I went to in Louisville, Kentucky, to the Brown Hotel one time, and they serve the Kentucky Hot Brown that is their namesake dish in a cast iron skillet that was hot from, I wanted to lick that
lick the skillet
once it cooled down.
That's right. That's fun. That's a good name.
Tennessee's full, aren't they?
I have
got all
just,
kinds.
One city name that's going to cross state lines.
Hey.
In that it's the name in three different states. Bucksnort. Bucksnort, Tennessee. Bucksnort, Alabama. And Bucksnort, two words, Arkansas.
Oh, my word.
All three Bucksnorts. But there, I guess that's a term for like a sound that deer make.
Oh, that makes sense.
So in, days of that hunting being a real big part of life, of course, that's still a really
still
big part of life.
Still is in some of these towns or some of these places.
So that would have been a sound that was well known among the hunters of deer. And so they called it bucksnort.
Makes sense, actually.
I think it's funny, though, that Arkansas makes it two words, bucksnort.
Oh, and everybody else, it's
everybody
one.
Everybody else, it's a one word.
I don't know the proper way.
I'm going to give some honorable mentions to Chicken Gizzard, Dog Trot. These are towns. Chicken Gizzard, Dog Trot, Possum Trot, Suck Egg Hollow, Frog Jump, and Frog Town, Tennessee.
My goodness.
Didn't have time to get all the stories there, but
my goodness.
Context clues leads me to think there's a lot of animal life happening, wildlife.
Well, how about we head north to Kentucky?
All right.
A little town called Monkey's Eyebrow. Okay, so one theory on the origin of the name is that when looking at it from the air or on a map of Ballard County, it resembles a monkey's head.
Okay.
And the monkey's eyebrow is located where that would be on the monkey's head. So possibly that could be it.
Okay, so like you're yeah, I'm getting it. I'm getting a visual.
So.
Okay.
If you're looking at the whole head, where Monkey's Eyebrow, Kentucky, would be.
I haven't studied monkeys enough to know.
Ballard County. I don't think I have any more Kentucky crazy names. I'm sure there's more that exist. Oh, there is a Big Bone Lick, Kentucky.
More licking.
I see a theme.
We got lizards licking, people licking. So much licking.
Oh, there's a Bug Tussle, Kentucky. I didn't look that one up, but that's a funny name, Bug Tussle. That's
very funny.
All right, where shall we go?
We had several of our listeners. We did some polling before this episode just to even see if y'all had some towns that you grew up in and near that were strange to you. And we did have like some of our listeners that we polled about Mississippi. There were too many. Mississippi's just going to get an all-encompassing, difficult to pronounce.
Okay.
Blanket statement.
Okay.
For sure, across Mississippi. I'll just name a couple of them because I wrote out like the phonetically.
How to say it.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got Idabena and Pelahatchie. Those are.
That Pelahatchie sounds like a Native American.
I think a lot of them are, okay. Which is why it's so foreign
to
our English language. It's just not stuff that you hear very often. But.
Georgia has a lot of those, too.
Yeah. So.
Well, I have a cute one from Mississippi that's not hard to pronounce, and it's a place I think I would enjoy visiting, and that's Hot Coffee, Mississippi.
Oh, I love it.
Established at the crossroads of two popular travel routes, the North-South, Jackson's Military Road, and the East-West, Natchez to Fort St. Stephen's Wagon Road.
Okay.
There was an inn that was built in 1870, and there was a store and hung a coffee pot over his door advertising the best hot coffee around. Oh. His coffee was made from pure spring water and New Orleans beans, which sounds so good, and molasses drippings for sweetener.
Oh my gosh.
Doesn't that sound different?
So we didn't go far south enough on our Mississippi trip. To hit hot coffee.
He never served cream with his coffee, believing it ruined the taste. Local politicians would visit. It's L.J. Davis was who built the store.
Okay.
And buy coffee for constituents and passing travelers. And the popularity of Davis's coffee led to the name of the community. So I just think that is so stinking cute.
I love it. As comforting as coffee is and welcoming.
I know.
I bet they've got good hospitality.
Mississippi, you got to stop if you see that.
So true. All right. Well, I do have to mention for Arkansas, we have Bald Knob, Arkansas.
Okay. That's cute.
Which was a community incorporated in 1881 with railroad construction beginning 1872, which, you know, puts you on the map if you got railroad coming through there. But the local legend claims that Hernando de Soto discovered and then referred to a large rock he saw there as Bald Knob. So he was exploring the whole Mississippi River Valley in 1541.
Jeez.
So those are the stories where I'm like, so 1541 is when he just says, oh, that looks like a bald knob.
Yeah.
And 300 years later, somebody remembered that, or that went in like a notebook of somebody's.
He carved that on a tree
to
somewhere.
Go, hey, you know what? When Hernando de Soto was coming through here, he thought.
Yeah. So crazy.
But maybe it's true. Who knows? You just got to go with some of these things.
All right. There is a Possum Grape, Arkansas.
Okay.
An incorporated community in Jackson County named in 1954. For nearly two decades, residents were split on whether the name should be Possum or whether the name should be Grape. So eventually after much conflict and turmoil, a compromise was reached and the town was Possum Grape.
This is like how celebrity couples originated. Like when, you know, the celebrity couples, Ben and Jen is Benifer.
Yes.
So it's, no, we just got Possum Grape.
Possum Grape. Yeah, we're not even going to, we're not going to come to an agreement, so we're just going to morph it together.
Wow.
There's a Greasy Corner, Arkansas. There's a Smackover, Arkansas. Hogjaw, Arkansas.
I bet there's some good food coming out of Hogjaw.
I bet there is too.
For Texas, I've got just a few I'll mention.
It's huge, so of course they're full of great ones.
I know. We got Frog Knot. Frog Knot.
Okay.
I thought I said it wrong, but I didn't. There are several theories as to where this name came from. One is that the area had an abundance of frogs They killed the frogs and became known as Frognaut. Another theory is that the boys brought frogs to school. This sounds like something our dad would have done. The school adopted a no frog policy.
Okay.
These are the sorts of things their school board was dealing with, right? We have frogs coming into the school. Some people say the name was actually Frog Nod, N-O-D.
Okay.
Because the frogs are singing when they nod off to sleep. Who knows?
Okay.
Frognaut.
There's an uncertain Texas. Oh. And that's because the surveyors were unsure which state they were in.
Oh my gosh, right on the line.
So they're uncertain. There's a Hoop and Holler, Texas. Does that not sound like that would be in Texas? It's in Liberty County, and some believe the name Hoot and Holler refers to the term whoop and holler man, which in old oil field parlance referred to a telephone repairman in a refinery.
Oh.
Early telephone reception was so poor due to uninsulated wires strung along barbed wire fences that conversations were often characterized by whoops and hollers.
Wow.
That's
a lot to keep up with, honestly.
Another and perhaps simpler theory is that Hoot and Holler simply refers to the boisterous and rowdy cowboys in Old East Texas.
That's
probably more what it was.
I like that. Have you heard of Nacogdoches? I practice that one a lot.
Is that Louisiana?
No, this is still East Texas. It's actually the oldest town in Texas.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
My college roommate, Christy, lived there for just a little bit, maybe a couple, I don't know, not long, under a year. Nicknamed Naca Nowhere. And apparently they sing about it there, saying supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Because it rhymes.
That does help you say it, too.
It does. Okay, so Nacogdoches is a sister city of the similarly named Natchitoches.
That's what I was
Louisiana,
thinking of. Yes.
Where the story of Steel Magnolias hails from.
Yes. So cute. How about Ding Dong, Texas?
Okay. What do they do there?
Two of the town's earliest residents, Zulus Bell and his nephew Bert Bell, who opened a general store. These general stores are the hubs, aren't they?
They are.
In the early 1930s, the Bells ask a talented artist, Con Cohen Hoover, to paint a sign for the store. Hoover painted two bells surrounding the owner's initials and underneath painted the words Ding Dong. Apparently, the effect of advertising was powerful because the community soon adopted the slogan as its name.
That's fun. I thought for sure they made doorbells there.
Ding Dong.
But their name was Bells. That would make sense. Another theory, again, we could just make up our own at this point, that there was a lot of like ring and run happening among schoolboys that were no longer bringing frogs to class. Who knows?
And the last one I wanted to mention is a Louisiana Unitas. It's literally U-N-E-E-D-U-S, Unitas, Louisiana.
Wow.
Derived from shortening an alteration of You Need Us, the motto of a local lumber company.
Isn't that cute? That's funny. Coming to you live from Unitas, because you need us.
That's right.
I love it.
So many cute names.
Well, what did we miss, y'all? I'm sure we missed several that you're going, oh my goodness, I can't believe they didn't say whatever. Yeah. So feel free to shoot us a message or tag us on Instagram with your strange named Southern town. And until next time, Lainey, peace be with you.
Oh, and also with each of y'all.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.